Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Welcome back to the show. Let's talk to James Hughes, the chief market analyst at eToro. Morning to you, young James.
Good morning, Moose.
Now, unfortunately, we've got to talk markets. Obviously, yes. We'd rather talk football, but only a
Indeed.
Week to go.
Yeah, a week exciting. To go. It's an exciting day. This week is solely set aside for doing your fantasy football league. Markets should be closed, everything. Fantasy
Purely
football.
For fantasy
That's
football.
What it should be.
Well, I think the Bank of England, let's kick off with that, might have a slightly different view on that. Obviously, yeah, it's exactly. Almost like a triple witching day in terms of inflation, unemployment, and interest rate decision. What are your observations?
Yeah, it's a big week for the Bank of England. And what's interesting about the Bank of England is for probably 2 years or so, we've been bored of the Bank of England. Even up until last month, we were all sitting here, Bank of England rate decision comes out, and we all go, no one cares. All of a sudden, a couple of points from Mark Carney, and we're looking at a rate hike potentially before the US.
Yep.
So we're looking at a rate hike potentially 2015, before the end of this year. Everything goes on, in fact, the three bits of data that we've got coming out this week. Firstly, you've got the inflation report. Now, that's going to be key, because what we want to look at with that inflation report is we want to see these projections. Now, the projections have got better and better, and this is where we differ in the UK from what we've seen in the US. The GDP revisions in the US, every time we see an FOMC meeting, Janet Yellen seems to warn us a little bit about GDP, growth isn't what it is. We saw the numbers last week. They weren't terrible, but they weren't amazing. So in the US, they're worried about that GDP, which is why potentially we're going to see 2016 for this rate hike instead of this year. UK-wise, that GDP number's doing really well. The inflation numbers have been getting better. And if these projections at the inflation report this week are going to be good again, then I think we're really running away with a rate hike.
You think we go this year?
I think we go this year. If the inflation report this week is good, there will be a fear from Mark Carney's point of view and the Bank of England's point of view is nothing but, if we do it before the US, what does that do to markets? Does that spook markets because the UK have gone first and that means the US have got to go at some sort of point? So there's that spook in the markets point of view. And he will do what we all know that the central bankers do, is we'll drip feed. Now, to get it this year at the inflation report, we're going to have to hear something that hints to us. So good GDP numbers, good projection of the GDP and good projection of inflation. We get those, then I think we're on. Then if we get the good unemployment figures, we know unemployment's doing pretty well UK-wise anyway at the moment. So you get those good numbers there, you're doubled up together. Now, I don't say you're going to get this rate hike this week, but then you get Thursday's rate decision or Wednesday's rate decision, and we're expecting two to vote yes for a hike.
Yep.
So that's, again, pushing it. The numbers are jumping higher in terms of where people are voting. And I think we look now, kind of not nailed on, I don't like saying nailed on because people tend to hold me to it and it doesn't tend to work out that way. But I think then we're looking 2015 before the US. And I still don't see US until 2016, start 2016.
Okay, so let's move on to the US, okay? Obviously the FOMC, it appears to be finally balanced.
Yeah.
We've got jobs data this week. The jobs data has been robust for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
What's the state of play in your mind at the moment?
I think we should forget these non-farm payrolls now, because we've had however many months now of plus 200,000 growth in these numbers. It's not a situation like we were in before where non-farm payroll means we're nailed on for a rate hike, or it means we're nailed on that the economy's getting better. We're coming out of those cycles now. I mean, okay, even the payrolls isn't doing what it used to do to the markets. I mean, we know how much the dollar's been rallying, but we don't even see that sort of that sort of erratic movement.
So the volatility
anymore.
You're saying over the non-farm is
dying down. Right. We don't see it. It used to be
gap up, gap down.
Yeah, traders used to love it. We used to sit there for the payrolls. And you find all the brokers, still even us, we stick a push notification out to your mobile phone saying non-farm payroll. But really, it doesn't even do that much these days. I mean, the currencies like it a little bit, but still, we don't get too much on the back of it. But the numbers are going to be good. The numbers will probably be good again. We expect this robust number, but we now know that the Fed isn't looking just at the payrolls. It isn't looking at unemployment for its rate hike. We're looking at other things. And as I said, this growth situation is interesting because I think the way we could read what's happening over the last couple of weeks in terms of, or last couple of months in terms of the last FOMC meetings, what we are hearing from Janet Yellen is growth's good, it's okay, but it's not where we want it to be. Now, whether that stops a rate hike or not, as I say, I think it does. I think it stops us till. I don't think you can go to FOMC meetings and warn about GDP and then the next month you're raising interest rates. I think it has to be a fully run out, nice run of positivity from Janet Yellen. We know that's how they like to do it. A nice run of positivity, then you get your hike. And we're not seeing that really. Mm-hmm. The numbers haven't been great. GDP wasn't great. And at the last meeting, it wasn't all sweetness and light from Janet Yellen. And that's what she likes to do. She likes to run it out, a nice long runway for her to then take off with your rate hikes. But we're not quite getting that yet. I'd expect to see that start towards the end of the year. September, we'll probably see her, instead of saying there's going to be a hike, we're going to see her say, we're ready for a hike, we're getting ready for it. Then a couple of months of that, and then we're off, start the new year.
Okay. So in terms of currencies, that's your expertise, they've been really quite static.
Yeah, it's really tough at the moment in currencies. And like eToro clients are very much the same. A lot of the retail client you find, they will like the longer term things. They want to get on in the stocks. They want to trade some of the stocks. Yep. We've had a pretty nice earnings season in the US, and UK's not doing too badly either. So we've got some more data this week out of stocks. But then you look at some of the currencies and where you want to get in and get your short term stuff, and you're not really seeing it. We had some really nice range trades for a good couple of months before. Euro dollar was doing it. Euro sterling was doing it. Gold was doing it nicely. And even coming out of currencies and going to oil was doing it. You had a nice little range trades. We broke out of those. And ever since then, we've stopped. We know Greece has been a problem for euro dollar. So euro dollar doesn't care about anything anymore. It's almost like I've had my movement for this year. I'm not bothered by anything.
That's it. So you think that the volatility is now out for the rest of the year?
Euro dollar wise.
On euro dollar.
Euro dollar. Apart from anything rate hike. But
okay. We're
already seeing that the market moving, the dollar's so strong anyway. But I think euro-wise, Greece market's opened up today, 25% down. Euro doesn't care about that. So I don't think the Greece story's over, but still, we've got so much going on with that. So I think euro dollar's quiet. I like these commodity players. I think we said this last week as well. The Aussie, the Kiwi, they're nice. They're nice opportunities.
Continued weakness as a theme?
I think so, yeah. I don't think you look too far away from it, especially with what commodities are doing, what oil's doing. I think dollar CAD's a nice one as well. I like dollar CAD at the moment.
Okay, on the ball for the dollar, I assume.
Yeah. It's breaking some nice levels on the charts.
Okay.
When I come in late this week, maybe we'll talk a little bit about dollar CAD and do that one.
China. A couple of words on China.
China. Where do you go with China? I mean, sooner or later, they've got to take out, the government have to take off what's there. Well, it's funny. I had an interesting chat with Zach about this last time I was on. Do you have to take it? Does the Chinese government have to take these measures off or not? Or does it not care really about the rest of the people out there? Do you just let it stable itself out for as long as it possibly needs? Or do you bow to market pressure and say, well, look, you've got to take them off sooner or later? And when you do, we see more selling, we see more panic, most probably. So it's a fine tightrope for China at the moment. So I find that a very tough one, because whenever you're relying on the Chinese government to do something, it's a very dangerous place to be in.
Greece obviously reopened for the markets.
Yeah.
You're saying that euro dollar doesn't care. So what's your tip for the Tip TV crowd this week, right? What's the one thing they should be looking for or looking out for? What's the key component for this week?
I'll tell you what, I mentioned dollar CAD before. Dollar CAD's a nice little play at the moment. It broke out some big levels. couldn't really hold on to too much of it either. So it's kind of sitting around in a nice area where anything can kickstart it again. We've got some, we all talk about the US data this week. Canadian data sits in with that as well. And always payroll day, there's always a lot of Canadian data out as well. So almost look at that payroll data, but keep an eye on that CAD data as well, because the Canadian stuff can really kick that pair going. And when you've got euro dollar doing nothing, dollar yen, all of these majors, which really are struggling a little bit, especially anything euro denominated, this is a nice play for this week, because you're right on some key levels, you can see some big, nice breaks. And if that Canadian data's good and we get anything from the Fed that doesn't point to a rate hike, say that the payrolls are bang in line, the FOMC doesn't say anything in the meeting minutes, then you've got a nice little play on the CAD.
Okay, James Hughes, Chief Market Analyst, eToro, thank you for that. You're back on Wednesday from the top of my...
Yes, I think it's Wednesday.
We'll go through three currencies.
Yeah, let's get some charts up, yeah.
Okay, let's take a very quick break and then we'll be straight back. Thank you.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.